What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. Hour number two. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Now, turning over to the war zones, as you've been hearing lately, the Syrian government forces have been making tremendous gains against the U.S.-backed rebels, terrorists, whatever you want to call them here. And once again, as the terrorists abandon their bases, the Syrian government forces are finding U.S.-made missiles and Israeli-made mortars left behind. So we know who it is who's been supporting this insurgency against Assad. It's no secret that's what's really been going on, and they've been trying to get rid of Assad for something like 5 years. But every time the Syrian rebels basically drop their weapons and run, they send in more weapons. And so we're seeing this report out of Blacklisted News that truckloads of U.S. arms and ammo reached the Kurdish militia in Syria. Over 100 trucks loaded with U.S. arms and ammunition, including heavy mortars and anti-tank missiles, have reached the Kurdish-controlled northern Syria city of Hasaka over the past week. So they're still pouring in all these weapons all over the place. War, war, and more war. Apparently, yet another video has surfaced showing the U.S.-backed white helmets assisting in public executions in rebel-held areas of Syria. Now, remember, this group is being promoted as the good guys, and, you know, they're on the side of peace, and they've been nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize. They had a documentary made about them. It's a manufactured group. It's a manufactured group, and this video is just pointing out that they are really just some more of the rebels, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, whatever you want to call them. You know, they just put on the helmets and do a video. And on that same theme here, Russia's Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu has basically said that after studying the video that came out of Idlib, that he's absolutely convinced it's a fake, it's staged. And he has cited many of the same observations that we made, that you have these so-called first responders handling the bodies of sarin victims without any safety equipment. They've got a mask on their face, but they're not wearing gloves. They're not wearing isolation clothing. And if those people had really been killed with sarin gas, it would be very, very dangerous to touch their bodies because it would be coming out of the skin. And the first responders would be dead. And there's also that very embarrassing clip where they're panning the camera over the faces of these tragically dead children, and then all of a sudden the camera bumps back, and one of the kids has opened her eyes to make sure if the camera gone by or not. Now, over in Iraq, U.S. troops, remember the ones that are not supposed to be there for combat, are now within firing range of the ISIS fighters in Iraq. The whole region is now a tinderbox ready to be set off. It's very nerve-wracking. I'm wondering what the bookmakers in Las Vegas, what their odds are for full regional war breaking out in the next month. Story coming out of Sputnik News, and they're hitting the same point I made earlier in the show. Trump breaks vow to avoid Middle East entanglements, and political observers are saying that, yes, it's a very spectacular and confusing U-turn, and yes, it is. And it does seem to reinforce the idea that it doesn't really matter who we the people vote into either Congress or the White House, because the oligarchs, the money junkies, are calling the shots. And the money junkies seem to think that global war is what they want right now. Either to reshuffle the deck for a new game of empire, or simply to acquire more wealth, more power, more influence, bring about the global government, depopulate the planet. We don't know what they're really thinking. But it is sad and tragic that we, the American people, seem to have lost all control over this nation. Because as the United States was founded, it was supposed to be a nation firmly under the control of the will of the American people through their elected representatives in a republic. And that has been stolen away from us. And that is a tragedy. Now, Rand Paul is still talking about getting a motion to the floor of Congress to oppose this Saudi weapons deal. And again, everybody's focused on the money. It's $110 billion worth of new arms trade, and the stock in the companies will likely be fulfilling that arms deal has gone up. And they're trying to allay our concerns about pouring more weapons into a war zone by saying, well, it's going to create jobs. It's going to create jobs. And as I said earlier, what a sorry state of affairs where the only way we can bring jobs to America is mass murder on the rest of the world. But then that's part of the pattern. Get into an economic mess, get into a war to get out of it, and they've done it twice before. Crash of 1907, World War I. Crash of 1929, World War II. Crash of 2008, here we are, ready to go again. Except that this time, I am concerned the United States is going to lose this one for a multiplicity of reasons over and above the high cost and poor quality of our current weapons. We're going to do a shout out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. But it looks like Congress is starting to push back on some of these issues. And I think the concerns are, and all of this is mitigated by where members of Congress have their money invested. Members of Congress who are invested in the defense industries, they're going to be all in favor of this deal. Members of Congress invested in parts of the world that are likely to be destroyed by a regional war, they're probably going to be against it. But there is a bit of a pushback here. Now, Donald Trump wants to send more troops into Afghanistan, and apparently there is now a bipartisan group in Congress demanding an open debate on whether we should just get the heck out of Afghanistan. What are America's interests in Afghanistan that justify this continuing military occupation? Well, we know what the real interests are: oil pipeline right-of-way and opium. Obviously, the latter one is not going to be mentioned on a debate on the floor of the United States Congress. But they are talking about a new House bill, House Resolution 1666, that will simply cut off all funding for military activities in Afghanistan. And they're just hammering the point. The United States has been at war in Afghanistan for 16 years. We have kids just going into high school now that were born after the start of that war. We've been at war in Afghanistan longer than we were in World War I or World War II, or both put together. And it really is time to put an end to it. Unfortunately, those oligarchs involved with the opium traffic won't want that to stop, because if the Taliban takes Afghanistan back under their control, they will reimpose their ban on the cultivation of opium. And then where will the American drug lords get their opium from? Well, go into North Korea. There's a lot of opium growing over there. Isn't that kind of a weird thing to think about, that much of our foreign war policy is all about where we American drug lords can get their raw materials? Opium from Vietnam, cocaine from Nicaragua, opium from Afghanistan. But it's true. Britain once actually fought a war with China over Britain's supposed right to sell opium to the Chinese people. And you've probably seen the stereotypical image of a Chinese opium den, just this smoke-filled room and racks of cots and all these people just passed out after smoking the opium. That was coming from Britain. And Britain, at the time, was actually buying it from right here in the United States. It was a legal crop back then. It was considered impolite, but it was legal to grow opium in the United States, and it was sold to Britain, who then in turn sold it to China. And much of that money shaped American politics in the early days. The official name of the Skull and Bones fraternity at Yale University is the Russell Trust, and the Russell family fortune was built on that opium trade. And again, stressing, it was legal at that time. But that's how the politics of contraband have shaped our history, whether it's opium or alcohol during prohibition or drugs during the war on drugs. It is a potent force in the background that has shaped much of our history. Now, getting back to the present day here and Donald Trump continuing his tour around the world, Rex Tillerson is out there saying Donald Trump is going to be really tough on NATO and basically saying that it is time for the other member nations of NATO to start paying for more of this, because right now the United States government, meaning you, the taxpayer, are paying for most of NATO. And Tillerson is also saying that NATO should formally join the anti-Daesh coalition, which sounds good on the face of it. NATO will join the war on terror, but we know that the U.S. government has been using terrorists here, terrorists there to justify invading nations. Wasn't all that long ago where the United States government was trying to insist that the only reason they were in Syria was to get ISIS and Al-Qaeda. And we know that's not the real agenda. And now NATO would be on board for any future U.S. invasions of any country that the U.S. just says, oh, we saw ISIS over there. We saw ISIS over there. We got to go on in. Interestingly enough, there's been a poll taken across Europe of ordinary Europeans, and much as I expected would be the case, they're not really all that eager about war with Russia. They think it's a really, really bad idea. And in fact, three of the major European power nations, the populations say they would not want to be in a collective defense. If one of the European member nations were to go to war with Russia, they're not feeling strongly that they would just want to hop on board with that. And apparently, it's the problem is worse in Germany, where the people just say, we don't want to get involved. We've been in the last two world wars. We were the bad guys in the last two world wars. We don't want to get involved. And again, if you travel around Europe, the scars from World War I and World War II are still there, still visible. It's in your face what happened to that part of the world. And that's why they don't want to see it. Here in the United States, we don't have those scars. We have a few Civil War battlefields and memorials and monuments, and those are being torn down right now. For Americans alive today, war is an abstraction. It's something they see on TV and movies. They don't have that connection to it through their parents and grandparents like you do in Europe. Now, the European Union is having a little bit of another upset. They're looking at possibly another Dutch election, because once again, the second round of talks forming a coalition government basically collapsed. They're unable to get that together, and they're struggling to find something. And again, the impasse seems to be the divide between those who are nationalists and those who are the globalists. And apparently the lines are being drawn, and the language is getting very heated. Down in Turkey, Erdogan is responding to threats by Germany to pull out their army and just saying, go ahead, we'll just say goodbye. Yeah, goodbye. So Turkey is becoming a real wild card in that part of the world. It's hard to know what Erdogan is thinking, where he's going. It's hard to know who's on whose side when you look at who's giving whose weapons and who's fighting this party and trying to get that Kurdistan going. It's a very unstable situation. One of the things that really bothers me is that Donald Trump is out there making these grand statements and global deals, and it's almost like he thinks the nation and the war are just going to run themselves when he's not looking. And I'm sure that there's probably a lot of people in the military high command who are making decisions on their own. But it does feel like it's fragmented, that there isn't a grand plan, and that it is spiraling toward chaos. Meanwhile, over in Yemen, the World Health Organization has reported a 50% rise in cholera cases in Yemen. And apparently there have been 35,000 cases since April 27th when the outbreak started. This thing is spreading rather rapidly. And knowing what I know about cholera and water supplies and sewage, it almost seems like this could be a repeat of when the UN forces accidentally, we are told, introduced cholera to Haiti, that this infection may have actually come from outside. But it does seem to be spreading very, very rapidly here. By the way, when Donald Trump was down in Israel, over and above all the money that is given to Israel by the U.S. government in violation of the Symington Amendment and the Glenn Act, apparently the U.S. added another $75 million to the aid package for the Missile Defense Program. Little extra present from Trump to Netanyahu. And Netanyahu has expressed his gratitude, if you will, and respect by declaring that Israel doesn't need a green light from Washington, D.C. To go on building illegal settlements in the occupied West Bank. And this is just a day after Trump left Israel. Defense Minister Avigdor Lieberman said that we're just going to do what we want. We don't need the White House approval. And, of course, it would be inappropriate for the White House to approve a settlement anyway, given that it is illegal under international law. But Lieberman said, we didn't ask for a green light, and we won't ask for a green light. They could care less. Let's take a phone call. Jesse in New York, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha.
Aloha.
First of all, I just want to say that you've been a hero of mine for maybe 8, 9 years I've been following you. I wish I had money to donate, but, you know, I spread your links, tell everyone I know. I do the best I can. I sent you an email maybe 2 minutes ago called Build the Wall. Just look at that and get back in touch with me if you like the idea. That's all I'm saying.
It just the second came on in, and I will take a look at it, okay?
Okay, yeah. Get back in touch with me, because it's very... I think it's going to be huge. I think it's going to be huge. Anyway, that's really it.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to let you go here. Now, here's an interesting little development, and I'm still trying to figure this one out. Apparently, Donald Trump's pick for European Union ambassador has warned France and Germany against plans to pursue a United States of Europe, saying the United States, our United States, will fiercely oppose such a move. Now, that is very, very interesting, because obviously for the globalist agenda, they want to fuse the EU member states into a single federalized national government. And so if Donald Trump were supporting the globalist agenda, he would go along with that. But he's clearly opposed to it. Now, I don't think it has to do with the globalist agenda. I theorize. Donald Trump's thinking is that a United States of Europe would be an economic and military power that could pose a serious impediment to the United States' plans for the future. As long as the EU is fragmented and fighting among itself, it's relatively benign, and it still can be controlled and exploited and used for these various wars. But a United States of Europe could stand up to the United States and say, we think we're done with the wars, and we're done with the dollar. And that would be a major game changer, and I think that may be what is behind Trump's opposition to the United States of Europe. I know that the people living in those member nations of the EU, they do not want a United States of Europe. In fact, anybody looking at the United States would say, that's a bad idea. All right, we'll be right back.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. Now, getting on over to Korea, you want to talk about imperial hubris. Rex Tillerson is urging North Korea to back off the nuclear program and instead says North Korea to simply trust the United States pledge of no hostility. Is this guy on drugs? I mean, look back through history at all the times the U.S. has said, we're not going to invade, we're not going to invade, and then they invade. Before the war in Iraq, Iraq and the United States were good friends, remember? That's absolutely unsupportable. Now, maybe Tillerson did it purely to say, well, we attempted to find a peaceful solution and North Korea said no. But North Korea, or for that matter, any other government on Earth would be a fool to trust the U.S. promise that there will be no hostility, especially in the current era of the U.S. invading, regime changing, drone striking nation after nation after nation after nation after nation. And there are other historical precedents for countries that said, we are going to sign a non-aggression treaty. And then it gets broken. It's not a supportable claim. China has finally issued a statement following this overflight, supposedly, from North Korea into South Korea, which triggered some return fire by artillery, saying that no one has a right to bring war and chaos to the Korean Peninsula. And it's interesting the way they phrase that, because they didn't specify who they're talking about. And I think that may have been as much a message for the United States as it was for the two Koreas. Now, remember, South Korea's new president wants reunification. It's going to be one of the goals of his term in office. It's the United States that wants to keep them split up and fighting with each other. Now, North Korea has finally responded to this incident involving the artillery firing over the DMZ. And they're saying, basically, it's a reckless provocation. And by the way, you were shooting at a bird. And remember, on the south side, they didn't know what it was. They thought it might be a drone. Could also have been a bird. Everybody overreacted. You ever see the Steven Spielberg movie 1941 about how in Los Angeles, it's just after Pearl Harbor, and everybody's expecting an imminent Japanese invasion, which was actually never part of the Japanese plans, and how everybody's so tense and things get out of control and they start shooting into the air wildly? That's actually based on a real story that did happen, where they had all the anti-aircraft guns and searchlights and everything out there, and somebody made a mistake, flew the wrong place without clearing it, and the whole sky lit up. That actually did happen. It's called war fever. You have to be very, very careful about that, especially with the situation we have in the Middle East, where we have these U.S. combat troops within firing range of ISIS. Somebody makes a stupid mistake, and the whole area could explode. Meanwhile, here in Hawaii, our local Hawaii Department of Defense is apparently now in the process of updating their nuclear contingency plan with regard to a potential threat from North Korea. Now, Claire and I live here on the island of Oahu. I'm not particularly worried about an attack by North Korea for two reasons. One, there really isn't all that much point in North Korea expending one of its few nuclear weapons and few Taipodong 2 launchers trying to hit us. And so far, the largest nuclear weapon they have tested is just 10 kilotons. In the world of nuclear weapons, it's a firecracker. And I've run through the nuke map. If North Korea were to hit the Pearl Harbor command centers with a 10 kiloton warhead, we'd lose our windows here, but other than that, we would survive, probably. The big worry, of course, is getting into a shooting war with Russia and China. And yes, this island would be a target because all of the communications for the Pacific Fleet are routed through here. And that would be a problem. All right, got to take another break for commercials. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no work, can't draw no pay. Unemployment getting worse.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. We're going to go back to the phones here. Rick in Arizona, aloha. Welcome back to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, how am I coming in, Mike?
You sound like you're on a speakerphone. Can you use a handset?
No, I'm stuck. How about right now?
All right. Well, just go ahead and tell us what's on your mind.
Oh, what regional war are you talking about? Like a regional war breaking out? Where at? I mean, what countries?
Across the whole Middle East, Iran, Saudi Arabia, just all of them.
Wow, that'd be pretty wild. Remember I called in a few days ago and I said that other countries may stop exchanging intelligence with the United States because of the people hanging around Trump? You remember that call?
Yeah, I remember that call.
And I just heard today that England has quit sending intelligence to the United States after this terrorist attack. Did you hear that?
Well, yeah, we reported it earlier in the show because apparently somebody that had access to that information did leak it to the corporate media, and it's proved to be a huge embarrassment because once the name and the photo was out there, people started digging, and they found this guy's, first of all, for 5 years, his friends were trying to warn the British authorities that he might be a dangerous terrorist, and now we find out that he and his father were both part of a British-supported jihadi group operating in Libya all the way back to 1996. So it's a big, stinky mess, and I understand that's why the British are probably very, very upset.
You know, all these have the same pattern. They know about these characters right away. Person kills himself. It's just, it has the same flavor of all the other terrorist attacks. It kind of strikes me as a traveling rock and roll show that has, you know, support groups, it has pyrotechnics, it has actors and actresses, and they just move from region to region, and it's like a traveling terror show.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it. And yes, they always do seem to follow the same patterns. And apparently there was supposedly a security drill scheduled to be in that area. Again, right now the indications are this was another false flag. Maybe it was staged as a distraction from the Seth Rich story. Maybe it was staged to help Theresa May in the upcoming election. But it does reek of being a false flag attack.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Mike.
All right, thanks an awful lot. Now then, turning on over to China. And again, this is clearly not the agenda Donald Trump promised us he was going to be following as president. But a U.S. Navy warship, the USS Dewey, traveled within 12 nautical miles to the Mischief Reef in the Spratly Islands. And this is part of the area that China says is their territorial waters, based on pre-existing treaties from the end of World War II, and are now declared to be in dispute with other countries such as Japan and the Philippines. And China has lodged a protest with the United States and may take it to the United Nations, because even the United States normally recognizes a 12-mile boundary for territorial waters, and this ship intentionally violated that. So this is another clear, obvious provocation. The oligarchs in this country seem dead set on having a global war to try and get out of the economic mess that they've created with their addiction, their money junkieism, as it were. Down in Venezuela, as you know, they're dealing with a huge economic meltdown. There have been the victims of U.S. economic warfare for a long time, attempts at overthrow, and now it looks like the government may, in fact, be brought down. And as is usually the case, these things are not thought all the way through until it's really too late, because now they're raising a concern. Venezuela has 5,000 Russian-made shoulder-fired surface-to-air missiles. And only now, U.S. officials are becoming concerned that Venezuela might just sell them off to somebody that the U.S. does not want to have those. Maybe the U.S. should go on in and offer to buy them. I'm not sure the present government of Venezuela would be all that sympathetic to such a request. But it is a concern. And these shoulder-fired missiles, they're sort of the Russian version of the American Stinger. They can be used to bring down warplanes or commercial airplanes. And, again, unintended side effects of U.S. foreign policy. Over in Montana, this is getting a little bit weird out there. A lot of people are up in arms how Donald Trump sort of muscled his way to the front of the NATO group shot, and apparently upset one of the other NATO members there. But there's a little more physicality going on down in Montana. The GOP candidate for Montana's congressional seat has been charged with misdemeanor assault. Apparently he slammed a Guardian reporter to the floor on the eve of the state's special election, breaking the reporter's glasses and shouting, "Get the blank out of here." Now, this is Ben Jacobs, and he's a Guardian political reporter, was asking Greg Gianforte, a tech millionaire endorsed by Trump, about the Republican health care plan when the candidate allegedly body-slammed the reporter. Now, that's the version that's coming out of reader-supported-news.org, but there's another version which says that the candidate slammed Ben Jacobs to the floor because Ben Jacobs asked him about his investments in Gazprom and Rosneft, which right now in this current McCarthy-esque anything connected to Russia must be evil. That's a very, very bad thing to come on out on the night before the special election. And that is really where all this Russia bashing is very, very dangerous. Because remember, following the collapse of the Soviet Union, the United States and Russia moved together. And they started doing business with each other, including our politicians and our leaders. It's all very above board, very legal. There's nothing wrong with it. The problem is now that they're trying to demonize Russia and use Russia to tarnish political enemies, their own financial involvements with Russia and associations with Russian officials and businessmen are now a serious liability. And so like this candidate, they're out there trying to say, well, you use Russian dressing on your salad. And at the same time, they're having to find a way to try and clean up their own past associations. And yes, they could liquidate their investments in Russia's economy, but the records are still there that it was going on. There's a time when hypocrisy will catch up to you when you're playing like that. Now, apparently, globalists in Congress and inside the Trump administration are now back to trying to expand and empower NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement. And this NAFTA agreement was considered sort of the foundation layer of creating a North American Union out of Canada, the United States, and Mexico, and possibly one or two others, that would be modeled on the European Union. And we all know how wonderfully well that has turned out. But apparently, they're back to pushing NAFTA and saying, we've got to have this, we've got to have all these free trade agreements. Well, you know something, if trade is free, you don't need an agreement. You're free to trade. Let's just trade. If you look at all these so-called free trade agreements, you will find they are the exact opposite. They are restraints on trade. They are constraints on nations that they will buy certain products from other nations, even if they don't want them or use them. It's about a globalist-controlled economy. And if you want to know how well that works, go back to the days of the Soviet Union, where everything economic in the Soviet Union went through the Politburo, and they made some hideously devastating mistakes. Lysenkoism being a real good one. Now, as you know, here in Hawaii, we're dealing with our light rail project, which is way behind schedule, way over budget. The track that's already been laid is having to be repaired and refurbished and reinforced. Very, very bad planning. And one of the big stinks that we have here is the rail cars themselves, which were already delivered, are now going to have to be either totally overhauled or more likely they're just going to be replaced. It's going to be less expensive to buy new cars than it is to try and dismantle the old ones, because the old ones were found to have cracks in the frames. The frames are these four giant aluminum I-beams that run down the middle of the car, and taking the entire car apart, putting the new beams back in, it's just cheaper to get new ones. Interestingly enough, there is a over in Massachusetts, there's a Chinese rail manufacturer that has been hired to build rail cars for America's commuter train systems. It's like we've forgotten how to do that as well. And yes, our rail cars here were ordered from a company in Japan. It's going to be very hard bringing jobs back to the United States. We've had a generation that has lost the skill set to be manufacturers. And we're not going to get it back until we're willing to grit our teeth, pay perhaps a slightly higher price, and start manufacturing the things we need within our own borders. All right, let's grab a phone call. Rob in Chicago, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon, Mike. I just caught your story when you were talking about, I'm not sure what the reporter, what's his first name? It's Jacobs.
Ben Jacob.
Ben. Okay. Well, this guy, the story you just said, you got two sources on that.
Yes.
And they're both pretty much incorrect. The true story is, and the reason how I come up with this is because I actually was listening to a program this morning who was like, the guy's like, hey, I know somebody that was there, and he actually called me from the event, and he explained what was happening. There was apparently a meet and greet. There was a meet and greet first. And then they went into a separate area where it was just by invite only. And then Jacobs came barging in, And he started just shouting out, you know, Russia this, Russia that, what's your involvement with Russia, investments with Russia, this or that. Well, they're like, hey, buddy, this is private only. You cannot be here. He just kept pushing his way in, pushing his way in. And then he started getting into the candidate's face with his, I'm not sure what he had, a phone, a device, or whatever. But he got in the candidate's face, and then the candidate finally said, kind of like was shoving the thing, get that out of my face, or we'll get it out of my face, and to shove it aside, to shove it like as he was doing a shoving motion, Jacobs grabs the guy's wrist and then literally pulls him down and does, and as it was described, somebody described a good analogy for it, was when you have a pro basketball game and they're going for the foul, and you have your 6'5" guy falling down. Oh my gosh, I'm hurt. He just literally falls down. That's what he did. He grabbed the candidate's wrist and had him pull down and obviously land on top of him. Then he started crying. You know, oh my gosh, look what you did.
But hang on. You did confirm that my second source was correct, that the reporter was asking about Russian investments.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that was basically where we left that off. All right, well, Rob, thank you for the update.
Mr. Mike, the reporter said he was slammed to the ground.
Forget about what people are saying. Hang on, Rob. Forget what people are saying, okay? There had to be a video camera running of the altercation.
Well, here's the thing. He was counting on that there was nothing, but they think there was. So I think there might be something.
Well, let's wait and get the video and see what's...
He was counting on nothing being recorded.
Okay, Rob, okay. All right, thank you very much. We're going to let you go here. But yeah, it's very easy for people to call into radio shows and say, well, this is what really happened, and the candidate was the victim, and the Guardian reporter was being bad. Most of the Guardian reporters I've had interaction with, they're very low-key, and I'm sure this candidate is desperate to try and salvage his reputation, especially since the election is happening right now. But again, let's forget about he said, she said, and let us, in fact, go on over and wait for the video to come on out and see what really happened. Okay, now, let's talk about the economic news. Sears is, if not the iconic American retailer, it is certainly one of the top iconic American retailers. And over the last 6 years, they have lost $10 billion with a B, dollars, and they are in serious trouble. All of our retail sector is in trouble. There's no more money left circulating among the ordinary American people, and you can see it. Look at the prices on the automobile advertisements. If anybody actually had money, this is a great time to buy a car, but it isn't out here. Our nation has been plundered, looted to support the war agenda. And despite Trump's promises of bringing back the jobs and manufacturing, again, like the story I just talked about, you have American companies that run commuter trains are going to China. Now, China is going to build the factory here in the United States, in Springfield, and that'll mean some American jobs. But it underscores the fact that we have abandon our manufacturing so long, we have an entire generation of Americans who really don't understand what it is to go into a factory, grab some tools, and make something. And yes, today there's a lot of computer-aided manufacturing, and it can be very good, but at some point, somebody's got to grab those parts and assemble them. And yes, there are more and more robots coming online, and that's a trend that I actually am opposed to. Simply because if you have an economy where all of the manufacturing and agriculture is done by robots and ordinary people do not have jobs, how do you power the commerce? Who's going to buy the manufactured goods? Who's going to buy the agricultural produce if they don't have jobs where they can trade their labor for decent wages and salaries? There's been a serious lack of the long view, the wide view, in the economic planning of this nation. And I think that still we have too many CEOs or worshiping at the altar of Adam Smith, who said, if you are personally greedy, somehow the entire system will move forward. And Nobel Prize-winning mathematician John Nash absolutely destroyed that theory in his doctoral dissertation, but nobody wants to listen because they want a justification to go on being incredibly greedy. And that's why we have a nation now that is extraordinarily wealthy, but the wealth is concentrated in these top CEOs. And ordinary Americans are going hungry. One quarter of Americans cannot pay their existing monthly bills. So, of course, they're not going down to the stores. They're not going down to Sears to buy whatever it is Sears is desperately trying to sell. Our economy is seriously out of synchronization. The wealth inequality has reached a crisis point. We'll be right back.
Have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
The money, honey, we got the bombs. We'll plant them anywhere you like and blow up in L1. Whip this world into a frenzy, killing babies, dads, and moms. If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. If you got the money, well, we won't say we did. The towers in New York.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. We're going to take a few more phone calls. James in Texas, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yes, I have a technology question, Mike. I wonder, how much do you know, how much does Israel really control the technology sector? Like, I hear that they're a powerhouse, not only a powerhouse, but a juggernaut. And how much do they steal our technology, not just in manufacturing, but in military? And how much are they really making off that when they sell it to other countries like Russia and China and whoever else wants to buy it? And also, since they do own all the tech, is that why they always get away with stuff? Because they always got all the honey traps. They know everything, what's going on.
Well, that's a very complicated question, and certainly Israel is seen as a technology leader in the world simply because they've been taking some of that money given to them by the United States government. Then they turn around and they come in and they buy up U.S. technology companies and move them to Israel. Intel is a good example of that. And as far as the military, yes, there's a lot of spying going on. Remember, in the weeks before 9/11 happened, the FBI uncovered the largest foreign spy ring ever found operating in the United States, and was operating for Israel. And a lot of what that spy ring was doing was targeting businesses, trying to get information, proprietary secrets, and so forth. So a lot of that is definitely going on. As far as the military secrets, Israel really doesn't need to do all that much spying, because they simply take the weapons they get from the United States, reverse engineer them, produce their own version, and then sell them on, sometimes to countries the U.S. government wishes they wouldn't do. But again, Israel seems able to do whatever they want without repercussion from the United States. The U.S. just goes on signing those checks. And from that, I would say that it is clear that Israel does have blackmail information on much of our government. And the biggest one of all, I think, is going to be 9/11 itself. Because if you look at relations between Israel and the United States before 9/11 and afterward, it is very clear that afterward, Israel got much more demanding and the U.S. government became much more submissive and cooperative. And so I think Israel's literally blackmailing the U.S. government. If you don't do what we tell you to do, then we'll tell the world who really did 9/11, and it's going to be a lot worse for you than it is for us, because the world expects Israel to do this sort of thing. It's no big deal. And so I think that may be a major area of compromise.
Isn't that a national security issue right there?
Of course it's a national security issue. Of course it's a national security issue. And again, to have our military using computer chips manufactured overseas where they can be backdoored, and now we're hearing that the reason the S-300 and S-400 missiles aren't attacking Israeli planes when they bomb Syria is because Israel has the codes to say, hey, I'm a friendly, don't launch. Yeah, it's a big, big problem. It's a wild card. It's an almost impossible to figure out factor in any coming engagement. Okay, we're going to have to
it's
let
like
you go.
The whole song's, okay.
Yeah, sorry
it's
about
like
that.
It's like the Mossad agents that were captured in the white vans on 9/11.
Yeah, very, very much so. Okay, we got to take a break for station identification. We'll be back with some more phone calls and some more news after these few words.
Time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman App at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.